Bring you Christian greetings in the name of Jesus Christ. And Victor just thanked the Lord for loving us. And that's what the message is about this morning. I'd like to preach from the First Corinthians chapter 13, but I would like to make a few remarks before I get into the about love. I read in my daily Bible reading, I'm not quite where on the day, I'm ahead of them today. But when I read it and read the comments, the heading of the comments was the power of love. Power of love. And it just gave me a confirmation because this sermon actually probably started months ago. And I'm just getting to it. And last night I was thinking about a verse. I didn't know where it was. God said it. I have an everlasting love for you. His love is everlasting. Now he said that to Israel. And I found it in Jeremiah 31. There's some other interesting things that I found out about as I read it. I read the verse, then I read all of chapter 31 of Jeremiah. And toward the end of Jeremiah 26, he gets awake. He evidently was sleeping, and I think he goes clear back to 30, someplace where it starts, where God starts to talk to him, and then through chapter 31 up to 26, he is still he's still dreaming because he awoke and beheld my sleep was sweet unto me, he says. So it doesn't say it was a vision. It just seemed like he was dreaming about this and he saw it. And I don't know if the study of a prophecy makes you have sweet dreams or not, but it did for Jeremiah. Anyhow, he had sweet dreams. But the verse that I wanted is verse 3 is actually the verse, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. And it's all about Israel, the restoring of Israel to their position. New Testament, John says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his brethren. He said, you're my brethren if you do whatsoever I command you. Love is a probably the overriding attribute of God. Everything else is probably his greatest attribute. His chastising of God's people, of the children of Israel, is because he loved them. And he draws them. He drawed them. He pled with them. And today the Lord is pleading with us as well to love. Love as the song said, the love is a golden chain that binds our hearts together. And chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians has 13 verses. And I like to read it and then come back and just go through it and make some applications, some deductions, and for our encouragement and to help us to understand a little bit more what we are asked to do. And it ends with faith, hope, and charity. And one man said that faith and hope never end along with charity. But Paul does say that hope, what is hope? What you see is why is it hope anymore? I'm not sure if that's how he said it. What you see, you don't hope for no more because you have it. let you know, eternity is an expanding thing of understanding knowledge. It's God showing you things that you never knew, that you didn't understand in this earth. And the scripture says that as the ages and the millenniums of eternity roll on, he'll be showing us more things and more things. So in a sense, that's hope. We hope for more things to see, and he will show us more things. But we think the song we sing, faith will vanish and hope too, but charity will remain. Let's read 1 Corinthians 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I have become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether it be prophets, they shall fail, whether it be tongues, they shall cease, whether it be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. Now by faith, hope, and charity, these three, but the greatest of them is charity. The greatest of these is charity. I'll say it's the way of love, and we call it the love chapter. And this morning we all have been recipients of somebody's love, and we have been recipients of God's love. And this morning love stands as a very integral part of my life and your life and each of us. And I love it. I like to take the scriptures as they are given and not stop at the commas, but go to either the end of the sentence or the semicolon, which breaks the thought. And verse 1, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Now, I never heard an angel speak. I have heard some eloquent men speak, and that is very important, I believe, in modern churches today. This morning, I don't speak to you with eloquency. I speak to you in a simple way that you can understand, but men are able to speak to move people by the thousands, and they can make them emotional, and they can stir them up, make all kinds of commitments. I think of some of the great revivals that some of the worldly men have had in the past, where they've had thousands of people respond to the gospel. You know, they were moved. I never heard Billy Graham speak. Never heard him. And I won't, unless I listen to a CD or something. He is dead. But if we can do those things, if we can speak with tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, as becoming sound brass, as a tinkling cymbal, or a knock on wood. You know, it's worthless. We must be able to communicate with people in a personal way. People must understand what we're talking about. I know sometimes our preachers use big words, but it's nice if you define them when you say them, because some people don't understand. And I always, when I find a word in a book that I don't know what it means, I try to look it up to see what it means. And but some people don't do that. My wife don't do that. And she says, gets the word, she just passes over it and keeps on going. But it's one way for us to get an education. But and they'll have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and they'll have all faith so that I can remove mountains and have no charity. I am nothing. Now, this is quite a thing. We've been having some prophetic studies, but if we have the gift of prophecy, if I could stand up here this morning and tell you all about the prophetic things in the Old Testament and how it's performed and how it happens in the New Testament, I can just explain it in detail from one end to the other. Have not love, it's worthless. If I understand all mysteries and I have all knowledge, all faith so that I can remove mountains. Now, those are some tremendous things. Faith that you could move a mountain. I've never seen a mountain move. And Jesus said you could do it. But I don't know if anybody tried it. But I suppose you could have. Paul was a man of faith. And he prayed over people's hankies or a scarf or whatever it was. And they were healed. That tells you that right in the scriptures, that he did things. When the snake bit him, he just shook it off in the fire and went on about life like it was normal. And I believe he claimed the promise that serpents couldn't hurt him. It was free from that. He didn't have to worry about it. And the people decided that he must be a god when he didn't die like he should have died. We talked about having too much money this morning, having a lot of money. But it's though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor and give my body to be burned and have no charity, it profiteth me nothing. Their people that have given their bodies to be burned. They've set themselves on fire. And it doesn't say that love don't do those things. Love does those things. And the next part we have, that is what love is. And the next part we have is what love is. And again, I like to just take this, the phrase as it comes, charity suffereth long and is kind. God is long-suffering. He was long-suffering when he waited in the days of Noah, 120 years, for people to repent. He is long-suffering today. He is still long-suffering. Long-suffering is just suffering. Well, I believe Aaron Shank put this a little. He said it's long suffering. He suffered long for people. You're patient and kind. When you ask somebody to do something and they don't do it, you still suffer long with them. They don't get it done. Maybe there's a reason why they didn't get it done. Maybe something else come up that they couldn't get it done. But you're long-suffering with those people. And kindness is just having a loving heart toward people and not doing bad things. Charity envieth not. And that is singular, just charity envieth not. There is no envy, there is no jealousy, There is no desiring what other people have. I am content with what I have. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemingly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. And that is a whole thought, just a few commas in there. But charity vaunteth not. It doesn't boast itself. It doesn't present itself to be something that it is not. Vaunting is about the same thing as being puffed up. But we think it does. We don't vaunt ourselves. We don't puff ourselves up. We do not behave ourselves unseemly. She seeketh not her own. It is not easily provoked and thinketh no evil. How often do we? How much time do we spend thinking about our own situations and our own things? And we forget to think about the people that have greater needs than even I do. We often groan within ourselves because of some of the aches and pains we have, but then you see a person that is crippled and walks with a halt or some other deformity, and you have to just thank God that you are what you are, that you have what you have and all the good things you have. Rejoiceth not in iniquity. Well, I'm going to go back a little bit. Thinketh no evil. I had to think long on this one because sometimes I think I have thought an evil about people, at least people that we see more in the highways than anywhere. People that do stupid stuff and you maybe wish to. There'd be a trooper sitting around the next exit there to stop him and pull him off. To me, that's thinking evil about somebody. You want evil to come to him. You want him to get caught and pay. You want justice meted out. And that's not what we're here for. I remember quite a few years ago, I was on 81 going north, just before the Route 11 exit there at Greencastle, not the one right at Greencastle, the one just before that, which comes is Route 11. But before that, this fellow was traveling at tremendous speed, and he was passing people on the right, and he was passing people on the shoulder, and he was just back and forth. And I'm pretty sure I thought about him getting caught. But he got off and disappeared, and I got off at the Route 11 exit and went into Greencastle. And just to come into the railroad bridge, I don't know what happened. I didn't see it, but there his vehicle must have went across the highway, whether he tried to miss somebody, and was running up the bank next on the railroad bridge right on the left-hand side. He got his due, and I had nothing to do with it, but to think evil, I mean, about somebody. We are to think the best and good. Rejoice, we do not rejoice in iniquity. Can I rejoice when people do wrong? Rejoice in the truth. We've talked about truth this morning, and truth is truth. It's always truth. It's never changes. God's word is the same today as it been since he's made it. In fact, it's forever settled in heaven. It was written before time. And hopeth all things, beareth all things, believeth all things, and hopeth all things, and endureth all things. Hebrews says that we have not resisted the blood striving against sin. beareth all things. Beareth. It just means bearing up under the things that weigh upon us, our daily activities, our daily duties, the things we have to do. Sometimes we chafe under that, and but we need to bear things up and allow them things to be a part of, and believe all things. You know, some things are pretty unbelievable sometimes, and I don't think it's just talking about believing everything you read. I think it's talking about believing things about God, what God said in His Word. Believe it. It says it, I believe it, that settles it. We don't have to argue with the Word of God. We don't have to understand everything in the Scriptures. In fact, some things we cannot understand. There's just no way we can explain it. We don't know the answer to those things. And we have to believe it and let God take care of that. We hope all things. We just hope for things. We hope is what we strive on, what we live on. The hope that we have of another life after this, in a lot more pleasant place, more perfect surroundings, no troubles, no sorrows. And then we endure all things. Endurance. Press toward the prize of the high calling of God. Paul says, I suffer all things. I suffer the loss of all things for Jesus' sake. And he was going to press on, continue to do that. He said, oh, I just know that every place I go, afflictions and bonds abide me. But he said, he'll glorify God. Because of all of those things, his endurance was willing to do whatever God put upon him to do. Charity never faileth. Verse 8, whether there be prophecies, they shall fall. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For now we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away with. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, thought as a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things. Now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. And now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. Now abideth faith, hope, and charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. Now, verse 11 is kind of a unique verse. Paul says, when I was a child, I spake as a child, understood as a child, and I thought as a child. But I became a man, I put away childish things. Peter knows what you think Paul was talking about. Sometimes you think, our young people play too much, and when they get a little older, they should put some of that away, and maybe that's right. But as parents, you have children, and you play with them. You do things with them, and that's only right to be done. I mean, I've done some probably funny things already playing, and maybe you've done them too. I can remember all the three little children around my back like I was a horse. And different stuff. We do. But I don't think that's what Paul is necessarily talking about. I would like to go back to verse 4 again. And just look at a child's life. And ask you the question, does a child suffer long? And is a child kind? Do your children suffer long with each other? Are they kind to each other? No. That's not an attitude of a child. A child knows nothing about long suffering. They want what they want now. And they can be, a child can be as cruel. I've seen children, I'm not sure what brought it on, but he bit his mother's leg. He just bit her. No kindness there. And children with children can be mean. They don't, charity envieth not. The children don't envy things. They don't vaunt themselves, they're not puffed up. You know what? If a child has a toy and it happens to be one of them, the other children can be very envious of that. And sometimes even fight over it. They try to take it away from the one that already has it. And they may even get it. But you know what happens? The other child is screaming and crying. They fight over it. In fact, they can even be calculating and see that toy and they watch it and just wait. And the other child may forget a little bit, and like, yeah, it's scarfed up. They got it. You know, that's the way children act. It's the nature that's in them. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Your children always act like they should act. I can remember grandchildren. I can't, it's too far back from my own children, but all their little antics, but I've seen children when they got a bath and their mother was drying them off. I mean, they just ran right through the house stark naked, and it didn't bother them one bit. Doth not behave itself unseemly? Well, sure, it's unseemly. They're soon brought back and got some clothes on. A child seeketh not her own. Oh, I think a child is more concerned about its own person than anybody else. They want the biggest piece of pie. They want the best looking cookie. They want that kind of thing. That's what it's all about. It's about me. It's not easily provoked. Yeah. I believe children can be provoked very easily. And they can think evil as well. You know, that's just the nature of children because they have a nature in them that it's carnal. Now when your children get to be in their preteens, you may have them to where they can be obedient. They can be some of these things, but there's still a nature in them that they still want. Now, that's a picture of a child. Now, Paul says, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But he said, I became a man, I put away childish things. And how many of these things are still evident in our own life? I really think that's what Paul is thinking. He wants the Corinthian people, and he wants you and I as well to think about the things that charity is not. You see, charity always esteems others better. It always does something more important for other people, and it esteems our own self worthless. My own ideas don't have to be the best ideas. But some people think their ideas is the only idea. And Paul said, that's not right. That's childish. I suppose old people can act unseemly too. But Paul said that that needs to be done away with because it is childish. These things are childish. That, and love is, when these things are in our lives prevalent, maybe not to the fullest degree, but maybe in part. We're lacking love. We lack love. We need to understand that I always come back to this when I think of love, of the price that Jesus paid for our salvation and what he suffered. Jesus did not esteem himself worthy Philippians tells us. But he despised the shame, endured the cross for our sakes. It's awesomely different between what Christ was in heaven and what he came to do on earth. It was a life of total sacrifice, total giving. Everything. Jesus didn't claim nothing. On his way to the cross and in the court, he was silent. He didn't say anything unless he had to say it, or there was good reason for him to say it. Pilate marveled because they accused him of things and he didn't answer. He was not there to defend himself. He was going all the way to the cross. And as little Christians, that was God has asked us to do too. And I was impressed with the Sunday school lesson this morning as we thought of a man that was carnal in nature, had a personal interest in being somebody, and you know, usually when we want to be something, somebody else has to cut down. That's just all the way it is. And you need to push somebody down to push yourself up. God is love. What it says about God, he is love. It's his character. And the man of love is Jesus Christ. In his humanity, he was a full expression of God the Father. He dwelt among us. He was here in the flesh in the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Jesus Christ was totally God. Everything. And he was manifested in the flesh. You know, the scripture. Well, it's right here, just right across the pages. In chapter 14, it says, "Even so, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek ye that ye may excel to the edifying of the church." Chapter 13 is actually a parenthesis because he ends up chapter 12 with gifts, and it says covet earnestly the best gifts, but I show you in a more excellent way. And as soon as he's done with chapter 13, he says follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts. So he's back when the gifts a thing. But edifying is building up. It's an edifice is a building. I looked up edifice this morning, and it says it's a building, and it's a large building. Then he says it's a large abstract building. So there's a lot of things on there probably that's not needed, but the kingdom of the church that God is building is a humongous building. And we are not alone in it. We have others to build up and to edify and to encourage and help each other do what's right. And it can only be done through charity, through love for each other. Love for our families, love for our wives, our husbands, children and grandchildren, love for our brothers, and a willingness to just to lay ourselves on the line for the work in the kingdom of God. I'm not in it for what I want. I have to be looking out for you. And we need to look out for each other in this little family circle at Winchester. We need to look out for each other's children. Without love is, John talks about love. It's so important in our experience. We need to feel love, and we also need to love people. And may we do it, may we see ourselves as we are, realizing we are nothing outside of Christ Jesus. We just are nothing. What we have of him. What we have, he gave to us, and we rejoice in that. So help us to love each other and to love God. God calls us to love us. Love him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Yea, you need to love Jesus more than your own self. He said, "Or you're not worthy of me." He said, "If you don't love me more than you love yourself." He says more than that, but that's where he ends up. Yea, you have to hate your own self also. And love me, to be a part of me. God bless you. Let's pray.